if it actually brings value or makes people's lives easier, then they will have a reason to learn it. And if crypto really brings value, then I think we'll see people actually put in the time to learn it and onboard.
Get ready to jumpstart your week with the FCAT Crypto Brief, brought to you by the Fidelity Center for Applied Technology. Join us as we delve into the hottest topics, from blockchain breakthroughs to DeFi revolutions and market happenings. We promise to go deeper than the headlines and deliver market insights you can't get just anywhere. Be sure to hit subscribe for your bi-weekly dose of crypto commentary. Quick disclaimer, we're here for education, not investment advice. Views expressed are of the hosts, not Fidelity or its affiliates. Crypto's a wild space, highly volatile, can become illiquid anytime, and is strictly for those with a high risk tolerance. Buckle up, enjoy the ride, and let's dive into what's been happening recently.
Hey guys, thank you everyone so much for joining. Welcome to another episode of the FCAT Crypto Brief Podcast. I'm Max Waddington, today joined by Jack Newrider and Dave Shapiro. 2 weeks ago, we were all at ETH Boston. Did the podcast live with an audience. And in my opinion, that turned out great. It was a lot of fun. So I encourage everyone here, if you missed that episode or you weren't at ETH Boston, definitely check it out. These two guys had some really good insights in particular, which is why I'm excited for today, right? And I figured, you know, a lot of the digital asset markets, they're kind of off of their highs, some substantially, some modestly. So today seemed like a good day to take a step back, offer some perspective or share some perspective. So the topic or the theme of today's discussion is whether or not digital assets are mainstream, what mainstream even means. I'm hoping we all have very different definitions and we can argue about which one is best. But before we get into that, gentlemen, I think we have some news to cover. Jack, you want to start us off?
There was some recent sort of fundraising rumors that Tether's seeking to raise $20 billion at a $500 billion valuation. TBD on whether or not there is funding at those levels, because you know the valuation does seem steep, in my opinion, when you look at it on a relative basis to, like, for instance, the other large stablecoin issuer, Circle, which went public earlier this year, trades at a $28 billion market cap. And on sort of like a relative basis, just to give you like factual context on the numbers, Circle has issued just under $75 billion of USDC at this time. And Tether has about 2.3 times the circulating supply, so 175 almost billion USDT that's circulating. But the valuation that's being reported here is 17, almost 18 times what Circle trades for on the public markets. So looking at those numbers, it does seem like quite a disparity. I think some of the reasons people are highlighting for that disparity is one, you know, Tether is the largest stablecoin issuer. And so there's, you know, maybe some sort of premium associated with that. Two, Circle does share revenue with, you know, Coinbase and other companies for a decent percentage of USDC supply, whereas Tether does not, or at least is reported to not have as much revenue share on the assets that they hold. And yeah, still don't know whether or not, you know, there is actually demand at those levels, but yeah. And in the context of, if we look at just publicly traded financial services companies in the United States, just looking at the MSCI Financials Index, that valuation for Tether, if it is an actual price level with demand from investors, would be the fifth largest company relative to publicly traded companies in the financial services space. So yeah, pretty interesting to see the size and scale that stablecoin businesses and some of these crypto businesses are today.
That's a big number. I'm curious, is it clear where that specifically came from? Was it just an announcement from Tether's side?
Yeah, there's some reports in Bloomberg and other, you know, reputable outlets that they're seeking that amount of capital at that level of valuation from, you know, strategic aligned investors, still unclear whether or not, you know, there will be funding at those levels or not.
Super interesting, because Circle, I guess, was kind of, I mean, the guinea pig, right? They were kind of going to market without like a similar competitor at the time. And now we're able to, you know, run those comps somewhat reasonably, even though they've kind of just hit the market recently. So that'll be interesting. I'm sure that'll be like the go-to, you know, analysis you see a lot of the time.
Yeah. And a little bit of other Tether news this week. The phrase stable chain is now entering the crypto space. So Plasma, which is a stablecoin focused blockchain with backing from, I believe, you know, Tether associated people and entities like Bitfinex, had its TGE, so its token generation event, has a couple billion dollars, I think $3 billion almost, of assets on the chain. A lot of people bridging from Ethereum, Arbitrum, various chains with stablecoin TVL, bringing it to this chain to, you know, earn yield points and to send transactions. Plasma, I think yesterday, at least as of last night, had, you know, market cap of like $12 billion, fully diluted valuation on the token. So it was just like a notable launch, and there's a lot of alignment between them and Tether. There's several other stable chains that have raised capital that are going to likely launch in the next, you know, 6 to 12 months. The interesting point here is like Plasma is offering the ability to have zero cost transactions when you transact using USDT. So it'll be interesting to see like whether or not we see a shift in stablecoin transactions happening on some of these chains where maybe there's like incentives or lower fees to be able to attract, you know, stablecoin activity that happens on general purpose blockchains. Ethereum, Solana, Tron has a lot of stablecoin activity. Whether or not that shifts into like these more payments oriented application specific stable chains, or if it stays on general purpose blockchains or a mix of both. I kind of think that we're just going to continue to see stablecoin growth across both categories. So you'll have this new like emerging category, and still like it's still to be determined whether or not these are super successful or not and are able to build like ecosystems of people that want to actually use them for payments, or use them without knowing for payments. But I kind of think that we'll see, you know, TVL and growth in stable coins across both general purpose chains and these newer stable chains that are starting to pop up.
In my opinion, it's all stable chains. They've all been stable chains, right? You could have probably argue ETH is stable chain since, you know, ChatGPT moment, killer app, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, Jack, I would agree with you. I think we'll see the growth from both sides. A lot of people are pretty, you know, adamant on the multi-chain world, and this is just maybe more of a specialized environment for that type of activity, like you said. I think we have a couple more news stories. David, what do you got?
Yeah, so SEC Chair Paul Atkins came out and said that the innovation exemption would be coming sometime this year. And so the innovation exemption will be a set of conditions that the SEC lays out that will allow either issuers or crypto projects to launch and sell to people in the US without being fully compliant upfront. So if you're launching an L1 and you want to decentralize over time to eventually meet the definition of being decentralized and therefore not a security, this will give you some room and some time to possibly achieve that. And so what I'm excited about is that hopefully it will keep builders in the US, it will help sort of stem the movement offshore of people who were nervous about either having people in the US using their products or, you know, facing some type of backlash from US regulators.
Awesome. Yeah, that's very exciting. And I guess kind of similarly, we've had another move by the SEC to approve like new generic listing standards that basically streamline the process for launching certain digital asset exchange traded products. Right. So basically there were existing rules that now apply to digital asset ETPs. And if these digital asset ETPs meet the specific like criteria, it can be listed on major exchanges without having to go through like the traditional 19B4 process, which I'm sure a lot of listeners kind of know how long and cumbersome that process can be or has been historically for, you know, the existing ETPs. So some quotes from some reliable sources say that it could reduce the listing time of these ETPs down to 75 days, whereas previously it got up to as high as 240 days or more under the old process. So does seem at this point like a significant change, but we'll see exactly, you know, how much higher the fire hose of ETPs, you know, really, really goes, right? A lot of people, there's some varying expectations, but I've seen some folks expect it to at least notch up a bit. So, gentlemen, with that, we can hop into the topic of the mainstreaming of crypto. This idea is so wide open. You could probably look at all of the stories that we've just covered and say, yeah, that's quite supportive of digital assets or crypto being mainstream. I tried to take a bit of time and create my own definition, but I'd first like to hear what you guys think. Like, what does mainstream of digital assets mean?
For me, I can go first. I don't know that I have a perfect definition of what mainstream means, but I feel like there's basically two parts. One is like recognition and maybe to some degree like acceptance, whether you have a positive or negative view on crypto, that it exists. And yeah, and maybe to some degree, it's like understanding it as well. We can talk about that maybe, but that's like one end is just like acknowledging that it exists and knowing that it's sort of like this emergent part of the financial system. And then on the other end, it's like actually using it. And it feels like there's maybe like multiple facets there. It's like intentionally going out of your way and using it versus using it without knowing you're using it with just like a traditional incumbent company. I think those are two different things, but maybe not a perfect answer. But to me, there's two pieces to it mainly.
Well, I have good news for you. They do in fact exist. So we're at least halfway there. Maybe we can get into like the second half later. But Dave, what do you think?
So when I tried to come up with a definition, I realized that I just don't really have a definition of, you know, what it means for crypto to be mainstream. I think it sort of depends on who you ask. It's a pretty subjective thing. And B, it matters what you're talking about. So for Bitcoin to be mainstream, there's a list of milestones that you could consider. But then on the other hand, for things like tokenization or smart contract platforms or stablecoins to be mainstream, you know, there's a whole nother set of criteria. One thing I will say is that if it was 7 years ago and I looked at where crypto is today, back then I probably would have said that it has gone mainstream. But today I don't necessarily feel that way. I can sort of feel myself constantly moving the goalposts, you know, as we progress. So, yeah.
Yes, I've definitely had that thought of if, you know, I told myself, my younger self, maybe 2-3 years ago, what has happened, I would just naively, but undoubtedly say, yes, we've fully gone mainstream. And now, especially after kind of digging into this more and trying to be more objective, first, Dave, I couldn't agree with your point more in terms of like, it's kind of a flawed question when we just use the term digital assets. Like, you've got to be very specific with what you're talking about. And then to Jack's point, there are a few parts here. So the definition that I came up with by looking at the definition of mainstream itself was that the idea, the attitudes towards, and the use of digital assets is regarded as normal or conventional, right? So Jack, to your point that the second point you made, are people using it? Do they know about it or not? Whether that matters, I'm not sure. But Dave, to your point, what's really kind of where I see a lot of the variability and the difference in perspective is those first two parts, like the idea and the attitudes towards, right? And with the idea angle, I think of that more as education. And I think we could all probably agree that like there's still a lot of headway to be made there. But the counter argument here that I always come up against is that nobody really knows how the internet works, right? Or even like just general financial products. Yet most people would regard those things as generally mainstream. So we might have to weight these parts of the definition, right? Like maybe we don't even need the idea or have to address people's attitude towards it. And we can just look like at the data-driven side of like, are people using it? Do they know that they're using it? Doesn't matter. And we also don't care what they think about it, right? So maybe we could just skip to the last part. I don't know what you guys think about that.
So I would sort of push back on the notion that like people who use the internet don't have to understand how the internet work. I think that if you look at the early 90s, there was a bunch of experiments with things like Friendster and Zanga and MySpace and sort of failed social networks. And what really allowed Facebook to take off was a critical mass of users who understood how like the web works and like things like that. So you know, people say things like, oh, you can drive a car and you don't have to understand how it works, or you can use the internet, you don't have to understand how it works. I don't necessarily buy that. I think that there is a little bit of a learning curve there. And I think that with crypto, you know, you might see some of these experiments that have happened in the past, whether it's NFTs or social, eventually take off once you have that critical mass of users who are familiar with the technology. So what we've seen so far might be just a bunch of false starts.
Also, in it's like to your point, in its current stage today, to use crypto, you kind of do have to understand it. I mean, I guess you could go to a centralized platform and purchase the asset, and we could argue whether or not that's using it, I guess potentially as like an investment or store of value, but to actually like operate on chain, at least the way that the system and space is set up today, you kind of do have to know some things about it in order to use it and interact with it.
I would argue that it's probably one of the most important things if you are going to use it, is really understand what you're using and the risks associated. So that's something, you know, on the research team, we'll always preach.
And in that sense, I would argue we're not mainstream. Like the average person is not interacting with crypto without knowing that they're interacting with it. And if the average person wants to interact with crypto, to your point, they do have to go through and like learn and understand and trial things and in testnet environments, or if they're even able to. I mean, that sounds silly to say out loud, because just understanding that is a whole concept in and of itself.
Yes, and I think we'll all be reminded of this come Thanksgiving as well. Seems like an annual kind of humbling, specifically around this idea angle. That, yeah, it takes a long time, right? And maybe to David's point, like maybe it isn't 100 hours to know every single thing, like driving the car or, you know, whatever other example, like using the internet, but it is some non-zero level, 20 hours, 40 hours, right? Like you do have to have some level of understanding, and maybe that's even at the end goal, like to Jack's point today, you might have to put in the full 100 hours to make sure, like to actually use it and understand the risks associated with it, right? Because a lot of the things we're doing are, you know, finance related, and there's a bit of added risk as opposed to, you know, tinkering around with a Facebook or social media type of application.
Maybe this is like an anti-crypto thought, but there's also an argument to be made from the average person asking, why would I, in a developed country anyways, asking why would I even need to understand it or to use it? And I think to some degree today, it's kind of a valid take. I don't think there's anything requiring people to use, you know, use tokenized assets or to have to, you know, have to own these assets. I mean, granted, on a historical basis, right, they've performed well, but you know, obviously past is no indicative of future performance. And like that, aside from that, like, it's not like from a utility perspective, people have an issue in developed countries making payments for the most part, or accessing the stock market and things like that, that crypto is purported to make more efficient or better. I don't know if that makes sense or resonates with either of you guys.
Yeah, I would say like if it actually brings value, or makes people's lives easier, then they will have a reason to learn it. It's kind of like the internet and email versus conventional mail. It was like, yeah, we could send messages between each other and it worked pretty well, but the internet sort of unlocked a new level of convenience. And so everybody sort of onboarded to it. And if crypto really, you know, brings value, then I think, you know, we'll see people actually, you know, put in the time to learn it and onboard.
Yeah. And I mean, in those cases, it, in the internet's case, it was at some point clearly like 10 times better, right? So like people found value and were fine with any, you know, associated switching costs or whatever you had to do to get onboarded, right? And to Jack's point, we're commonly hearing, hey, maybe it's not 10 times better than like the services and products that are offered in developed countries, right? But a lot of the research and the data we've seen specifically around stablecoins and just adoption in general are starting from those places where like even the bare bones, like hallmarks or constructions of the industry are 10 times better than their existing like options, right? Even if it is data-driven, more data-driven, when you use like the adoption angle, it's still such a big swing when you factor in the different perspectives.
Yeah, geographic dependent.
Yeah, I'm still of the opinion that, you know, yes, we've had a bunch of false starts and maybe we're just now getting on par to a lot of products and services that, you know, we've already had available, but there's still kind of room to run in terms of getting to that 10x better for everyone, right? And maybe that is the objective line that we draw. Hey, everyone is using this now. In the world, it didn't matter kind of what the alternative was, right? That's kind of a high bar.
Yeah. So when I was thinking about different milestones for Bitcoin specifically on what could mean that it has officially gone mainstream, one of those was, so I would characterize Bitcoin right now as sort of like a venture bet on an emerging store of value. And, you know, maybe Bitcoin is mainstream when it's gone from sort of speculating on a future store of value to people are actually using it as a store of value. And that sort of depends on your jurisdiction and where you are. You know, if you don't have access to ways to store value reliably, you may already be using it as a store of value. But if you're in maybe more of a developed country, right, you may still be speculating, you know, on it eventually becoming a globally used store of value. So that was just one milestone and like a long list that I came up with of possible mainstream moments. But I thought it was relevant to what we were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, there's a few like kind of big psychological milestones that maybe the old me would. Yes, naively agree that we are mainstream. And a lot of that is just very simple, like price, market cap, numbers. I pulled some data and found that Bitcoin hit $1 trillion in market cap in 11 years. And basically the only other asset to do it faster was Meta, right? I think they did it in 9. And a lot of the Mag 7 stocks, you know, are averaging decades to get to that level. And sure, like today's dollars are much different than like yesterday's dollars or whenever they were founded. But I think to me, we're still even in today's dollars at the point where, you know, an asset doesn't get to $1 trillion in market cap without meeting some kind of clear demand. And David, whether that's the speculative demand of like other people viewing it as a store of value or themselves, their own investment philosophy, storing value that way.
I think it's easy to dismiss price milestones or market cap milestones as technically irrelevant, but I think that they do have huge psychological importance. I think that, you know, when Bitcoin crossed 100,000, technically it might not be that important of a milestone, but just to like the general public and hearing that it had crossed that number, I do think it's significant. So yeah.
But that, like, I think there's also an argument that's significant from like maybe an awareness standpoint. Like, sure, you have CNBC and all these news outlets talking about it now. Feels like if you watch, financial markets news for an hour, you'll hear about Bitcoin or crypto or something of that nature. You'll see the ticker flash across the screen every 5 minutes or something like that. But, and then like, sure, price going up is beneficial and exciting to the handful of people that own crypto. And that number is, of course, growing. But there is, like, to me, a difference between like utility and use of these like blockchain rails and networks versus just like an investment asset in a portfolio. And maybe this is like a Bitcoin as an aspiring store of value versus like blockchain and what that means. And maybe like Bitcoin is further along in its adoption journey and blockchain and the actual use and utility from like smart contracts and tokenization is just earlier in its journey. And like maybe one will succeed and the other won't. And maybe Bitcoin is more mainstream and blockchain and broader crypto is less, but I do feel like there's a difference, right?
See, in my view, like price is almost the ultimate signal, right? It's how the whole world as a market views this particular asset. So I think a lot of that is just baked into that one kind of ultimate signal. And yes, obviously that signal is quite variable, but, yeah, I mean, from the smart contract side, there are a lot of like user adoption address metrics that you can point to and compare to the internet. I know, Jack, you've done that previously, and they're kind of still modestly on track with, you know, the early growth of the internet, like since inception. So, you know, I've seen a lot of pretty notable analysts, including yourself, make that correlation. And, you know, we can assume, you know, the same will happen until it really breaks down. But so far we're pretty on track.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, in an ideal world, the price wouldn't be as that important, but unfortunately it's something that, is like widely paid attention to and does have a big impact just on like the public psychology. So I don't know if I would call it the ultimate signal, but it is part of the equation one way or another.
All right. That seems fair. I appreciate the balanced response. So it sounds like on like the education front, still almost not even close or getting there, but still a lot of time to, you know, that needs to take place. And then debatable on the user adoption side, but a lot of support depending on which asset you're looking at, right? And I think we've made some reasonable cases for Bitcoin, and maybe at another time we get into the other assets or trends that we're seeing. Grabbing on Brian Pellegrino, the CEO of Layer Zero, on for the next episode in 2 weeks. So thank you both, gentlemen. This was a pleasure.
Crypto as an asset class is highly volatile, can become illiquid at any time, and is for investors with a high risk tolerance. Crypto may also be more susceptible to market manipulation than securities. Crypto is not insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation or the Securities Investor Protection Corporation. Investors in crypto do not benefit from the same regulatory protections applicable to registered securities. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. This podcast was produced by the Fidelity Center for Applied Technology, also known as FCAT. FCAT does not offer digital assets nor provide clearing or custody of such assets. It is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide tax, legal, insurance, or investment advice, and should not be construed as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for any security or other asset by any Fidelity entity or third party. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at the time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of the authors and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. Fidelity and any other third parties mentioned in the podcast are independent entities and are not affiliated. Mentioning them does not suggest a recommendation or endorsement by Fidelity. This information is not intended for distribution to or use by any person or entity in any jurisdiction or country where such distribution or use would be contrary to local law or regulation. Persons accessing this information are required to inform themselves about and observe such restrictions. Third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. All others are the property of FMR LLC. Copyright 2025 FMR LLC. All rights reserved. 1040156.